Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Our gospel reading today is sometimes called the Sermon on the Plain because it says Jesus came down and stood in a level place. It has very parallel thoughts to the Sermon on the Mount. And in studying this week, I've included some other words. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it up on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. The sermon title that I typed today was, Are You Salty Enough? My usual sermon pattern is that I write a sermon on Tuesday or Wednesday, and I work and revise it all week. The practice sermon that Susan is subjected to on Tuesday night is very seldom exactly the same on Sunday morning. Anybody here remember the movie Mr. Mom? Actor Michael Keaton has to take care of the three kids while the wife is away on a business trip and has disaster after disaster, and one thing keeps being repeated to him. You're doing it wrong. He was in the wrong place, or feeding the kids the wrong thing, or going through the school line the wrong way. Well, about 5:30 this morning, I woke up, and as usual my case on Sunday morning, the first thing I do when I wake up is say a prayer, and then I start thinking about my Sunday sermon. And this morning, the Holy Spirit gave me some additional thoughts and said, you're doing it wrong. I don't know if I'll include all the late-minute thoughts, but I'll try. Some years back, there was supposed to be a steam train come through Chico, California. A steam train originating from the Midwest, I think in the Omaha area, an old vintage train, and it was going to make it all the way to California, come up the California coast, and then it was supposed to go through Chico. My in-laws decided that they wanted to go. So they went down, and they had the old train depot that wasn't used that much anymore. Everyone brought lawn chairs. It was kind of a picnic, party atmosphere. And they sat there and they waited. And then the news kind of rippled through the crowd that someone had heard on the radio that it had been delayed in Sacramento, that the train needed repairs, but sit tight, it's coming. And so they waited. Finally came the news, well, the train's moving and it's on its way. And then it came by, almost at full steam. It was supposed to stop and let people look at it, etc. But my father-in-law said it was like a comedy sketch, sort of like, here it comes, here it goes. And some people laughed, but a few were very disappointed. I say that to say that some people are disappointed with their encounters with Christians. The text tells us that you and I are to be the salt of the earth. We are to add good flavor to all we say and do in the world. We are to make a difference in the world. And yet some people are turned off by Christianity because of what they say, hear Christians saying or doing. Have you ever heard anything like this? Well, if that's what Christians are like, I don't think I want to have anything to do with them. Today we want to look carefully at this text and see what Jesus Christ is saying. We want to be sure that we're doing what Christ wants us to do. We want to be sure we are salty enough, if you will, and that our lights truly are shining forth for the world to see. But do we understand this reference to salt? You like salt. I like salt. You've heard expressions. Does it have enough salt? You want a little more salt with that? Most of us have a salt shaker readily available to us. Susan and I have two, one that says P and one that says S. Was given to me down at Danville when I served them for 3 months, and we decided one was for Pastor and one for Susan because we... We all like salt, but is it a big deal? I have a 26-ounce container of salt. Paid $1 for it at the dollar store. But in biblical times, salt was much more valuable than that. Roman soldiers were sometimes paid in salt because salt was valuable and you could trade it for other commodities. Salt was exchanged when there was a bargain or an agreement as a sign of friendship and of loyalty. It was sprinkled on the grain offerings that were required in the Old Testament and brought to the temple. Sprinkled on as a sign of putting something extra special, extra expensive on it, but also as a preservative. Salt was a big deal in the ancient world. And Jesus says you and I are to be the salt, that important vital commodity of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. Jesus doesn't give you any option, any choice. He doesn't say, well, I hope you will be. You should be. He says, you are. We do affect the people whose lives we touch. We do affect where we are and what we do. That means we are to enhance the world. Is your workplace a better workplace because you were there and you make a difference? Is it better in your neighborhood? Because you're there to be the good neighbor and make the example. It means we should affect things. The gatherings where we are should have a different tone because a strong, active Christian is there. We notice that salt gives flavor to what it's placed on. It doesn't take on the flavor of the food. It adds to the food's flavor. As Christians, we are to flavor our world. We are to add to what is going on. We're supposed to change the world around us, not let the world change us. That means, of course, first of all, we need to strengthen our own faith. Strengthen our relationship with Jesus Christ by using His Word, by claiming the promise. God, you claimed me in my baptism. You say, I belong to you. You come to me in the Lord's Supper where I receive the true body and true blood. When we are sure of our salvation, when we know we get to heaven not by what we do but what God has done, then we can flavor the world and share that good news with others. When our lives are enriched through a prayer life, then we can teach others how to pray. When we trust in God for all of our needs, we can encourage others to put their trust and hope in Jesus Christ. You are the salt of the earth. You have no choice. The only choice, I guess, is whether you'll be worthwhile salt or worthless. So I urge you, first of all, to strengthen your relationship with Jesus Christ and then go about the business of consciously making a difference where you are placed. The Lord also tells us we are the light of the world. Better way to understand that might be we are to reflect your light, God's light, to the world. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The world is lost in sin. All people are born with a sinful human nature. All people continue to struggle with sin every day of their lives. All people would be lost and condemned in that sin unless God the Father sent His Son to provide a way out of sin. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. All who confess that we are sorry for our sins, all who can ask Jesus to forgive will be forgiven. Christ died on the cross to pay for your sins and mine. He did so willingly to pay the price of sin once for all time so that we can be forgiven and free. Because of Jesus, we know that ultimately we have peace and joy and contentment and are assured that we're going to spend eternity with our loved ones in heaven. That's the light that we are to reflect to the world, to let other people know the great good news. That light needs to change the way we live and act and what we do. And we need to be sure that others have the opportunity to hear about Jesus Christ. Jesus went on with his light illustration of an oil lamp. He said, you don't light a lamp and then put a bushel basket. Anybody ever sing, hide it under a bushel? No. Don't put it under a bowl. No, you put it up high so it'll give light all around. Christians too often let our lights be hidden. Too often we don't fully use our skills, our talents, our love of the Lord. We don't let the Lord work through us as fully as He might. Again, we talk about lighting our own lamp first. What would happen if I took an oil lamp and I thought, you know, I'll just put a little bit of water in here for fuel? Wouldn't work, would it? We need to fill our lamp with the good news of God's holy word, with the news that we are loved and forgiven through Jesus Christ. And if we do that, then there's no room for jealousy or hatred or bitterness or anger, for worldliness. Instead, we want to fill our lamps, our lives, with peace and patience and gentleness and self-control. Fill it with prayer and Bible study. When we fill our lives with the things of God, then we have something to share with the world around us. We need to notice again, we're not given an option here. What did Jesus say? You are the light of the world. It's a command. And He says, let your light so shine before men. Directives, commands. In the concluding verse of this section, it says we should be about the business of letting our light shine this way. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. We let our light shine by the good deeds that we do in this world, because not that they give us glory, but they reflect who we follow, the reason we're doing those good deeds. We need to be a congregation, a people, a family that do what Jesus said in Matthew 25. Remember these words? I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Jesus tells us exactly how He will know who the people of faith are. It will be because He can see their good deeds, which show their faith. We are commanded to try to draw attention to ourselves by the way we live so that we can point to the cross of Jesus Christ. I think Jesus, in effect, is saying, don't be afraid to blow your own horn if you've got a good tune to play, if you've got something wonderful to share with the world around you. Paul put it this way, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. He further said, be filled with fruits of righteousness that come through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. In Titus, he said, Jesus Christ gave Himself to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for Himself a people that are His very own, people eager to do good works. We need to be eager to reach out and touch the lives of those around us, starting in our family, going into our church family, out into the community, wherever we can touch lives in the world. The world is in darkness. Doesn't take long to watch the news and see all the darkness that's out there, and that people are struggling for something to believe in and hope in. We are to be the light of the world. And you and I are to season the food of this world. We are to be an example of love and kindness. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. Worthless salt is cast out. What if you've gotten to this point in the sermon and you're thinking, I haven't been all that flavorful. I haven't been that salty lately. I haven't lived up to the standard God would have me to live. The great good news is that although salt can't be restored to being salty, you and I can go to God and say, Lord, I've failed you. I've not been the person I want to be. Please forgive me. And God says, you're loved and forgiven. And He promises the Holy Spirit to give us strength and power and courage to be the people we want to be. We can pray that the Holy Spirit will help us live our lives as Christians, that we can indeed flavor the world. And again, I think it starts right in your own home, with your family, showing them the example of what it means to be a truly loving person. And then into our church family, where we're blessed to be here together to reach out and touch one another's lives. Won't embarrass anybody, but I could look around the room and point to several people and say, we all know how salty you are in this church. We appreciate it. We love it. Thank you for what you do for us. Maybe we need to think, is there anything I can do that would help people think of me that way? Help them think of me as representing Christ and living a Christ-like life. We pray for the power of the Holy Spirit. May God bless our efforts to be people of love and faith. May we truly be at peace with one another. And may we be the salt and light of the world. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which does indeed surpass our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds through Jesus Christ. Amen.